I think it'd be good sometime just to have the Lord break up our plans. Just overcome us. Sure would be good. But we shall labor on, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, we'll try to finish up tonight, verse 8, Micah chapter 6. Got through with the first two things that the Lord listed as required of us. Do justly wherever you are, whatever circumstance you're in. Always right. To do right. And secondly, to love mercy. We are witnesses of that every day, but most folk don't know anything about the mercy of God. Third thing, required to walk humbly with thy God. Would you bow with me as we seek our Lord's help? Gracious Father, we give thanks that one more time beside eternity, you have granted all of us the mercy and grace needed to assemble. Let it not be in vain. Lord, so fix our hearts and our ears that we might be given a good hearing. But not just hearing, but that we might do. For Lord, all here know, and we know too well, that there is in eternity a place where the mind never rests. And where that worm gnawing on our conscience will forever be reminding us we had opportunity. We had a place. We have Thy Spirit. And yet we missed the opportunity. Help each of us and for that I pray that you might give that which each heart needs and that you would enable us to diligently consider ourselves. Am I in the way? Am I headed to that eternal city where there will be no need of the sun or the moon, for Christ will be the light thereof? Am I a sincere inquirer and searcher after Thee? Have I found that pearl of great price? And I'm ridding myself of everything so that I might purchase it. Father, bring us further from form and away from satisfaction with our ritual, though the rituals might be right. Let us not be satisfied until that which we do has become beneficial to our hearts. Help each here grant what is needed for a rightful dividing and declaration of Thy truth. And Lord, we'll be careful to acknowledge that which is good comes from above. Grant that each might be looking to Thee. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Walk humbly . It is the simplicity of the Scriptures which confound the wise. Those that God puts in the ministry, not wise, not mighty, that His power might be seen and known, and not the preacher's ability. It seems simple for me to stand before you and use the word walk as our all the scriptures. Yet to a child of God, this book is a profound body of 66 letters and we don't take any of them lightly. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he told them, they're saying his letters are weighty. I guarantee you that that was not some worldly or religious professor that said his letters are weighty and powerful. It was one with the mindset of a child of God, seeing the simplicity of it and yet how profound this book is. Peter, writing in his second epistle, he said, as our brother Paul has written, there are some things hard to be understood. See, if you could understand God, you'd have to be equal with Him. If you could understand all the providences of God and all the mysteries of God, you won't be here in this body. And for me to say that Paul's letters are weighty, some of those mysteries that he would expound, they're hard to be understood. But a natural person looking at any portion of Scripture, a natural man with any degree of learning, would never make a statement that these things are weighty, or that these things are hard to be understood. A lot of scholars have made it their life search to find all the contradictions that they can in the Scriptures. If you ever run into one, the contradiction is in your mind. It is not in this book. It is without error. Simple and yet so profound that sometimes we just get almost lost in contemplating God, God's goodness and mercy, Jesus Christ. I'd like for one of you to tell me how it possibly could be said that Jesus, as he said, was meek and lowly. I can't understand. It doesn't take much by way of man accomplishing some little feat until he's no longer meek and lowly. He's no longer humble. And yet the eternal God, the incarnate Word, said, I am meek and lowly. It had to be a willful and determined humility. Again, I'm talking about something I don't quite understand. But if I just say walk, there's not a one of us that would give a great deal of thought to that word. We all know what it means. And yet do we? To walk. Man must be in an upright position. Now God made man upright. But since the making of man in that upright position, he sought out many inventions, and he no longer walks upright. God's got to do something, strengthening, creating, giving you the energy, giving you the ability, and upholding you for you to walk with Him. The Lord carries the lambs as you did your baby. He or she couldn't walk. If they got someplace, they had to be carried. And that's why I think that when you first are brought into the family of God and there is that within, such peace, such joy, such newfound forgiveness, that you think that it will always be this way, and then God sets you down. He quits carrying you. And it demands, now you walk. So the Lord requires all the infants. And has put within you something that is within that baby, needing that milk. There's something within the newborn child of God desiring the sincere milk of the Word that he or she may grow thereby. That is a desire in you, isn't it? You do have a need to get to the Scriptures, don't you? Well, God's the one that in that new created life has instilled within you the eternal and I think daily need to get to the milk of the Word. And then God requires all that he is beginning to mature and to develop in grace and in knowledge to stand upright. An easier place for any of us is on our face before God. We feel that is more right. We feel that that is more proper. We feel that that is where we belong. But not all the time. Joshua, what are you doing lying on your face? Get up. It's time for you and Israel to get busy about my work. Get up off your face. Nothing is required of you. Lying on your face before God. But God's not going to leave you there. For one to walk, they have a fixed and determined end in which they desire to reach. Now you make a lot of steps in the day. But all those steps, you are headed in the direction to take care of something that is needed. And when you get up and start moving, there is a fixed point out there that you mean to reach in your walk in that day. Jesus Christ leads us beside still waters. That means I'm a follower. That means I'm walking. He leads us into green pastures and therein makes us to lie down. But we had to move from one place, grass gone, eaten, dry weather has destroyed it. And it leads us to another green pasture, which means you walk following the shepherd. You got to be upright, and you got to have a fixed point out there that you're determined to reach in your walking. Now, if I took a wood screw and I stood it upright on this piece of wood, and I told you that your journey in life is like that journeying around that wood screw. You go round and round and round. But with every round that you make, you are at a higher point when you get back to the place where you started. That's your journey. You make a circle. You always get back to the point where you were at the beginning, but you're one rung on the ladder higher up. Due to today's walk. The design of the temple. The middle partition upward was to have a door in the right side with a winding staircase for you to get up into the third part. So you go round, but you're going up. You're supposed to be. The way wherein God has designed that the children walk is very compressed. It's very narrow and has a lot of turns. You don't know what's around the turn when morning gets here, if it gets here. most. I fear that most that profess to be on the way, and they think that it is straight and narrow and compressed, think that they can do today what they did yesterday, and they're all right. Normally, I like to start out the day with getting one of the good old devotionals and seeing what they have to say. Sometimes I read them several times, but I can't live where that man brought me today. And I can't go through tomorrow satisfied because I'm committed to reading so many chapters, saying my prayers, and abstaining from things that I should not be involved in. No, you're just going through the motion of living if you do today what you did yesterday, and you haven't made a step upward on the spiritual ladder of growth. Life's not a circle in one aspect, though historically it is. That which is that which has been. That will be tomorrow already has been, but what I am to be tomorrow should be something different than I was yesterday. So that at the end of every day, I'm not getting up the next morning at the same old starting point. The people of God get caught on a merry-go-round. We all do. And if you trace it, not always, but if you trace it far enough back, you may find out that the reason you're stuck on this going round and round and round and making no progress upward is because you've left your heart out of every duty Christ demands of you or the Lord requires. Some of you here may be on the same plot of ground that you were on 6 months ago. And you've been living there a while. The 2.5 tribes liked this side Jordan because they had much cattle. And they were willing to forego the promised land and the richness of God that He would give His people in that land. Now, if there's been a little sting in the heart, get up from the plot of ground that you've been sitting on spiritually and get to moving. Walk. Are you? If you are, then you will be able to look back and see from the point you started and see and know that there is a difference in you today than there was Sunday. Quit coming to the assembly Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday as you were the time before. Put your foot up on the next step. Brandy used to have some puppies that they got from Toby and Heather. Now I own them. One. I hope one's found a better home. And Toby's crazy about dogs. So he invites them all in at night to eat out of their bowls that he fixes. And it's only been the last week that the little short-legged fella, has finally figured out how to get up the steps, and it is a sight to behold. He will get his front paws on the step, and even to the second step, and then he'll spend 10 minutes trying to get his right leg up on the step below him. And he's fun to watch. But he's got to where he can walk all the way up the steps now. You making any progress? Climbing up steps is the hardest exertion there is. But you got to do it to get to the table. Proverbs chapter 13. Walk quick, going around in circles. Reach for higher ground. Climb, though it will exhaust you. Climb. Tim has laughed a lot joking with me about a message that one of our dear Primitive Baptists preached at a conference, and he said, I like first grade. I'd like to start next year back over in the first grade. Do you see what he's saying? It doesn't require much from us if we keep covering the same material. My word, had to move up into the second grade. And they're going to start all over adding stuff that I gotta apply myself to get. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth. Too many professing Christians say that they have a desire for heaven, but no effort is ever put forth from them to gain heaven. You say Christ finished the work. Absolutely. I'm not talking about you doing something that will add anything to it. But I'm talking about you following the Lamb And today's journey with the Lamb's going to differ from yesterday. And it is time to quit excusing ourselves and put forth an effort. Desires of the heart are part of true Christianity. If God created within a heart, then that heart has desires and will never be satisfied, but will always be seeking to reach the end of, get to, the fulfillment of that desire. And that desire is always complete when it brings us back to the author of the desire. Folk, there's natural desires within all of us of self-preservation. But what about spiritual life and preservation? The sluggard wants to. He wishes, but he makes no continued labor to attain that. One thing, Balaam, and God said of Balaam that he ran greedily, or talking about others, running greedily after the era of Balaam. He wanted to serve God, and he wanted a fat wallet. And he wanted notoriety and publicity. But the one thing he wanted in all that was, he said, that I could die the death of the righteous. Now you may desire that, but it's not going to happen with sluggish efforts. And the devil will say to you, well, due to the desires that you have, you're safe. And you don't differ from anybody else. No, in the child's heart, the desire is that which moves the feet towards the obtaining of that. It's a world of ease and comfort. That's what man wants out there. To get with little effort. Why do you think the lottery has become so big? Like 3 or 4 months ago, it was up into unheard of millions. And the next day, it had increased $30 or $40 million more. Everybody was out that day buying a ticket because they wanted a life of ease. And the rich man said, soul, rest. And God will give you a few moments to rest the soul, but not for a lengthy period of time. You'd get too lazy. So we'll have you up. Jesus said, the angels said to the disciples, he is risen and he goeth before you, and in Galilee you will see his face. Modern day Baptist, I'm going to honor God with my great faith, and I'm going to sit here in Jerusalem. Because I believe that he will show himself to me. Uh-uh. Why did he put the distance so far? Why did he even put a distance there? Why didn't he just come back into the city there? Because the life of a Christian is a life of a journey. Walking around and around, but each round you're on a higher and different plane than when you began. I'll just wait. He ought not to make the distance so far. I'll honor him. Wilt not thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Would that God would arrest multitudes that are at rest because they believe. True faith has works. True faith puts legs on the children's feet. But the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Chapter 19, Proverbs, verse 15. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul. You read your Bible today and you said your prayers. But was your soul idle when you were doing these holy or at the task of these holy duties? An idle soul shall suffer hunger. All that are on the path of life have their eyes fixed towards the mark we cross that says, that's the end of my journey. I have finished my course. They shall ask their way to Zion with their faces thitherward. Jeremiah 50, I think. Eyes focused on where they're going. Ask their what? Why? Because we don't know. Oh, I know. I do every day my little service. No, you don't. I mean, you might, but that's all you're doing. If your face is not towards Zion, we don't know the way. So the ones that do ask are the ones that acknowledge, Lord, only Thou alone can show me the way and direct my steps there. All right. Last word. Walk humbly. Humility requires a continual mindset and your eyes upon Christ For pride lurks in every one of our hearts. And it doesn't take much for it to sprout and begin to grow. Lose sight of Him. Lose an awareness or consciousness of Him, and pride will begin to develop. Humilities are the two things produces humility. Number one is a knowledge of who you are. And if you really know yourself, you're a humble person. The second, now that's only temporary. That humility will only last through time. The second is knowing who God is. And though the first is great and needful, and while we are in that short period of time, our eyes, we've neither got knowledge or sight of anything other than I am a lowly, lowly creature. But it's the second cause of humility that will go on into glory with you, and that is a sight of who God is. And that always will work humility in every one of us. Dear ones, knowledge can be a source of great pride. If knowledge is only gained in the intellect, and it's not sanctified, sanctify them through thy word. Because you know the Bible doesn't mean the Bible's been sanctified to you. Now listen to this that you will hear. Since I know who I am, a sinner, I am humble. Your humility could be sending a foul odor into the nostrils of your God. Humility is gained as we know self. Humility, a greater degree of humility is gained, developed within us as we know God. But then it is the duty of every last one of you to reach for and labor after a continued humility. Jesus said, "He that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And the Spirit of God said, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." There is a humility by nature, by birth. And there is a humility by our station in life, or some station in life, that is not humility God is looking for. Well, my mom and dad didn't have much. And I don't have a good job. If that's the only thing making you humble, you don't know humility. I'll close with this. The Lord, that is Jehovah, Almighty, self-existing, the Lord requires, but now listen, for you to walk humbly with God. Elohim, God, covenant God. God of love and the God of mercy. God Almighty requires you walk with the God who loved a people. I've got on notepad flips up when the computer comes on. Don't misuse or abuse, I'm talking to me, or discredit the Redeemer and the Father's love. Well, if he really loved me, I wouldn't be in this. When Joseph, a great type of Christ, found out after he had revealed himself and told his brothers all that he did for them, and when their daddy died, they said, oh, he's going to get us now. He went in a closet and wept because those brothers didn't know his heart. Don't you abuse the Redeemer's love. You walk humbly with your God.